Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our current series of studies, The Return of Christ. Already we have seen the promise of His coming, we have seen the purpose of His coming, we have seen the prospect of His coming, and with the help of the Lord, today we wish to consider the plea for Christ's return. Christ is going to return to this earth, first to the air, to rapture away His church, and then to the earth to establish His millennial kingdom. Now, you and I are vitally interested in the return of the Lord Jesus, and certainly I think that you will have your voice in what I have to say today. You will join me in what you have to say. Now, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, we want to see three pleas in connection with the coming of the Lord Jesus, of His return. We want to see the plea of the Apostle John, and then we wish to consider the plea as voiced by the Apostle Paul, and then our plea should be the same as theirs. And our plea will be real, and it will be personal. Now, in Revelation chapter 22, the last two verses of the Bible, I'm going to read. Verse 20 of the 22nd chapter of Revelation, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, he is quoting the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is quoting the Lord. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly," suddenly. Not quickly chronologically, because it's been 2,000 years, but suddenly, when you're not expecting it. And John's response is immediate. He says, "Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus." He wants to see Him come. You know, if we love somebody, we want to be with them. We want to hear their voice. We want their presence. I think of our military men that are away on foreign missions. When they come home, how they long to see their loved ones. And that should be our attitude toward our Lord Jesus, who loved us first of all. We love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself on that cross to put away our sins, to die for our sins, so that we could be with Him forever and take away that barrier that would keep us out of heaven. And we want to see Him. And our plea, John should be really voicing our plea here, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." Now, twice in this wonderful 22nd chapter of Revelation, the climax of the whole Bible, John quotes the Lord Jesus. In verse 7, we read there, "Behold, I come quickly," and he's quoting the Lord, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then in verse 12, we read again, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Now, in the first instance, the Lord says, "I come quickly," suddenly. Your service for me, your obedience to me is going to end. And he says, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, there's no response to this, as there is in the last, "Behold, I come quickly." Three times he says in this chapter, "Behold, I come quickly." The last one we've already considered. He which testifieth these things saith, "Behold, I come quickly." And the response is immediately, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." Now, think of this, if you will, please, child of God. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Do you want the Lord to come to show him how obedient you are? I don't think I want to boast of my obedience. Now, then he says also in verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Are you wanting Christ to come so you can get your reward? Are you sure that you'll have a reward? Well, every man will have a reward. We know that from Corinthian epistle. "Then shall every man have praise of God." But how much? oh, pitifully small when we think of what he has done for us. And so in verse 12, there is no response. But when the Lord says the last one, verse 20, he which testifieth these things, that's surely I come quickly. There's no specification as to why he's coming. Not to reward our obedience, not to reward our service, our labors for him, just in his person. Notice, please, the response is immediate. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That is the reason why we should consider the Apostle Paul's voice in this matter of the return of our Lord Jesus. Now let's think of Paul's response to the fact that he's coming again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, we read these words. You may wish to follow us in the Scriptures. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and of course he's referring to our body, our tent house, we just have it temporarily. We have a building of God, an house not made of hands, eternal in the heavens. A new house to live in, a new body, a perfect body, the resurrection body. And then he says in verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. He wants that new body. His body was full of aches and pains. He had been beaten so many times, and he had suffered such persecution for Christ. The 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians tells us all of the things that he suffered. And then he goes on to say, if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now he's thinking of being found naked as just the soul and the spirit without a body. And that's what happens when we die. The soul and the spirit go to be with the Lord Jesus, and the body goes to the cemetery. Paul says, I'm not anxious for that experience. I want the Lord to come. I want to be clothed upon with my new body from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, this tent, do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, we don't desire that experience, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given us the promise of the Spirit already, that the rest is coming. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So here we are, the Apostle Paul groans, and he says, I want the Lord to come. Well, I can't say that I blame the Apostle Paul, because we do the same thing. How could we throw any remarks against the Apostle Paul when we feel the same way? And I think that is true when we grow older. We that are in this tabernacle do groan. He had a different reason for groaning. It was through the trials that he went through. But it will be wonderful to see a body, to have a body that will not sin against the Lord, that will not grow tired, and that will be just like his body, as we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Just like his wonderful body. And so we go on. We think Paul, he wanted to see those that he had. I think we should read another verse in connection with this too, before I go on, before I complete that statement. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, we read these words. Paul is again the speaker, of course. For I am now ready to be offered. He knew he was going to be martyred. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also, which love his appearing. Now you see, the Apostle Paul gives us another reason here. Now we want to indeed follow in his steps. We want to set an example for others. We want to enjoy what others are going to enjoy. Now, notice, please, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also which love his appearing. Now, if they love his appearing, they're going to live a righteous life. And if they live a righteous life, they're going to get the crown of righteousness. Paul says, this crown is not unique to me. I love his appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus? Are you thrilled at the fact when you rise in the morning, this may be the day when he comes? Do you love his appearing? The church at Ephesus lost that first love. We read, for instance, in Revelation chapter 2, this is the Lord's message, the special message to the church at Ephesus. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, he says much to commend the church at Ephesus in the beginning of his letter to them, in the beginning of his short message to them. He commends them. Then he goes on to say, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The Lord Jesus wanted that love. Jeremiah 2:2, the Lord is speaking to his people Israel. Go cry on the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. I miss it. And the Lord says here, Jehovah is saying here, I miss that love of your first espousals. God wants us, the Lord Jesus wants our love. He wants it returned. He loves us, and he wants it returned. Now, if we love him, we're going to long for his returning. We're going to have that plea that is voiced by the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John already, as we've considered it. It's going to be our plea. Lord, come, even so come. As a lover awaits the return of a loved one, just to see their face, just to hear their voice, just to be with them, shouldn't we have the same attitude toward the return of our Lord Jesus? Not to release us from our troubles, but just to see him and to rejoice in his presence. Our Father, today, we do pray that the Spirit of God will remind us how much Christ loves us, so we will love him in return. We pray in his name, giving thanks, Father. Amen.